And I'm glad you're here, and we can worship God together. So, happy Father's Day. Thank you. And happy Father's Day to Michael. This is his first year of being a father. So he has his own baby over here. So, any other first-time fathers out here? Yeah, Dick Morgan's a first-time father. Also, I would just like to ask, how many graduates do we have? I know Zach is a graduate, but anybody else graduating here? Could you please stand up, the graduates? All right, Zach Newman. All right, let's thank God for him. All right. Since you're the only one that stood up, you get the whole $1,000 for yourself. I knew we'd find a few more graduates here. But praise God. We just thank God for all the young people and for their successful times in school. And just bless you all that are continuing your education. May the Lord be with you. Well, since it's Father's Day, I'd like to say a few words about my father, my earthly father. Marianne Corpus had gone back to Altoona. She's from Altoona too, Marianne over here. So, and she blessed my heart by bringing me some reminiscent foods from Altoona. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Benzel's Pretzel Factory, but that's located in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And when I was a little boy, we used to go up to the Benzel Pretzel Factory, and for a nickel, we got a bag of broken pretzels. That big, and what a find to be able to find that factory and get that nickel's worth of a good pretzels. And also, have anybody ever heard of Mallow Cups? Any Mallow? So Mallow Cups are made in my hometown of Altoona. And I used to eat as many of them as I could and had a wonderful time doing them. And one other thing, another food, was a peanut butter melt-away. Has anybody ever eaten a peanut butter melt-away? Because you've never lived until you've eaten a peanut butter melt-away. So, but she brought those all back from Altoona. I thank you so very much, Mary. That was very kind of you. But it was the memory of going back that just touched me so. And it got me into a real reminiscent mood. And I was thinking about back home and growing up. And especially about my times with my father. And my dad was a kind, loving man. He's passed away, 10 years or more even now. To my father, to my sister, and he was a wonderful father to my sister and I. And to my mother, he was a wonderful husband. And I have told you this before, but one of the greatest things I saw my father do, that as my mother had advanced in, she had emphysema, and as she was slowly coming to an end of her life, my father stayed by her bedside, and he used to sing songs to her. And that has always been part of our family. We were always singers and poets in our own little way, that was always something that stood out at my father, even on my mother's deathbed. He was dutiful to show her his love and affection. And I have great admiration for him as I remember that. Well, another thing my father could do is a one-armed chin-up. I don't mean he held on like this. My father could leap up on the bar and pull himself up. A very strong man. My dad could take your dad any day. Of course, everybody thinks that. And I used to be able to almost do it. I could jump up and half get up. But my father was very strong. He had been a blacksmith for a while. And he was in the army and served as an army litter bearer out on the front lines. They had to go out and pick up some of these that wounded and dead. But he was a very, very strong man. I remember my father as. And he served in the army, obviously, in World War II. And my father also was my father was not outgoing. Many people think that I'm outgoing, but I don't talk much when I'm not up here. but my father was not that outgoing either, although he loved to sing, and if it was at our occasion to sing, they would be singing around the table. We just grew up singing. But my father, although he felt himself to be a bit reticent and shy, took a job as a sweeper salesman. You know, put your foot in the door, sweeper salesman. But my father became the best sweeper salesman that the company had ever had seen. And they used to have a competition. And in 1 month, door to door, my father sold 66 vacuum cleaners. And I don't know if he held them at gunpoint or what he did, but he was an amazing salesman. He had a way of just coming in very close. He used to talk about getting in a person's halo, just getting very close and speaking to them and just go ahead and buy that. So I know Matt Stalter is a salesman. He's listening very intently how this guy was able to close the deal. See, closing the deal is the main thing. There's a lot of people that can present a product, but closing the deal is the key to sales. And that is where the rubber meets the road. I remember my father, one of his expressions or thing he told me as sales, he said, you know, once you've sold it, quit selling it. Some people want to keep on telling how much they know about the product. Once you've got the sale, then close it, once you know you've done that. But that's something I admired about my father. And my dad, even though he was a door-to-door sweeper salesman, never made that much money on a regular basis. I told you, if my father made $15,000 in a year, that was a huge amount of money. And at that time, my father, we were far from being rich. But nevertheless, my father put two kids through college, my sister and I. And he always had time to go golfing and hunting and fishing, which he was an avid fisherman and golfer. I remember him. And when he was 58 years old, he hit par. He was able to hit par as a golfer. Now, not every time he went out, but he broke 72 when he was 58, and that was quite an accomplishment. And the other greatest joy of my life is when my father made a commitment to his life to Jesus Christ at my kitchen table in the house where we now live. And that's not my father calling to me right now, but that's that's a light flickering. I'm going to shoot that thing out with a BB gun. But what a joy to know that my father and mother both had made commitments to Jesus Christ and that I was able to participate. He was a great grouse hunter. I don't even know if most of you know what a grouse is, but it's a Pennsylvania state bird. It's called the ruffed grouse, and we used to go out hunting for that. It's like a partridge. We had hunting dogs. And he was the best fisherman I ever knew. And at his funeral, I recited a poem that I'd written, and I'm going to recite it since it's Father's Day now. And just to let you know that one of the greatest times of my life was fishing with my father. And back to the reminiscence that I was thinking about Altoona. There was a place in Altoona called Sinking Valley. And it wasn't too far from my house, but there was a stream that ran through that. It wasn't a big stream. It couldn't have been more than maybe 20 feet wide. But one of the wonderful times of my life is the day my father and I had gone down to a place called Fisherman's Paradise near State College, I think it was. And my father broke the tip of his rod while he was catching a fish. It was a big fish. So when we came home, we only had one rod. And he said, you want to stop in Sinking Valley? And I was a young boy. I said, sure. So we went down, and it began to rain. And we stood in the rain, and my father and I each caught our limit of trout, trading the rod back and forth. I think we took home 14 fish that day. You could keep 7 fish. And I remember that I can't tell you what the fondest a day. I remember seeing a show where a young boy had gone out, a little boy had gone out with his father to do something, and the father was upset because he had to take the boy out. And in a little journal, both of them had kept the little journal, and the father wrote, another wasted day, I didn't get to work. And the little boy wrote, the best day of my life. And that just hit me. You know, whenever time you can spend with your children, and I've been trying to tell Eric that, and I will tell Michael that, just put everything else aside and invest in your children, and you will never be sad as years go by. We had an opportunity in the early years of their lives to be able to homeschool our children. Lillian did that. I watched. But it was a wonderful time. But this is the poem. It's called The Master Fisherman. As I walk by this narrow stream, my heart throbs with a bygone dream of how that master fisherman would bait his line and cast it in right where he knew that brook trout waited for the lure he had created. Like an artist paints a story, so he did with line and lure. He spun hypnotic mystery and heightened curiosity until a splash would break the spell the master fisherman had weaved so well. I wonder if he knew that day would come when I would walk this way and there relive that memory of the master fisherman and me. Through crystal waters would explode the climax of the episode. The plot, as though foretold, was made. So quickly was that ending made. With admiration from his son, again the master fisherman had won. I wonder if he knew that day would come when I would walk this way and there relive that memory of the master fisherman and me. Back through that mountain trail we'd wind and leave that magic land behind. Back to my home and family. Back to my home and family, the fisherman would carry me. And in my sleepy eyes, I'd see again the master fisherman and me. I wonder if he knew that day would come when I would walk this way and there relive that memory of the master fisherman and me. Wow. I can't help it. I've become such a wuss in my old age. You know, I cry over it, everything. I think I was weeping over Dumbo, the movie, the other night with the kids watching that. So, hallelujah. But the wonderful thing about having a great dad is that I realize that not everybody has had a great dad. And that saddens me. And at times I am a bit reticent to be able to speak about my father for fear that people are, it's as though rubbing in their face that they didn't always have a great childhood. But my family life, my mother and father and sister just were, to me, the ideal family. But not all people have a father that they can speak well of. But I want to tell you today that as I think about my heavenly father, that is a father we can all speak well of. Amen? Amen. All people are a part of God's creation. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the beauties of Christ being made in the image of the Father and that beautiful Christ hymn, a portion of it I read, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things were created by him and for him." And of course, when I think of Jesus Christ, I think of the Father also, because the Father obviously was in Christ. He who has seen me has seen my Father. And so if I have the two sort of relating back and forth, you'll understand that I'm thinking about the Father and Christ being the same. Although we are all created by God, not everybody has God as their father. I used to sing a song, "With God as our father, brothers all are we." And that's not true. I'm not a brother of somebody that is away from God and that might be living a debauched life or an evil life, or somebody that's away from God and has never made Christ their savior. We are the children of the living God. Amen? It's those that are born again, those believers that have received Christ as their Savior, they are the children of the living God. In John 1:12, he said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the living God." And I always say sons and daughters, and he's equating that to all being the children of God. In John 11:52, he said, "And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad." Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You are a child of the living God. So no matter how bad a childhood you had, if you did not have a good father, if you have bad memories, let me tell you this, that the memories that you should be beginning to form now are the memories that you have God as your father. And that is the beauty of Jesus Christ bringing that truth to us to show what a faithful son in Christ has a faithful father in our heavenly Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear yet what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is, the Bible says. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he loveth that doth not love his brother. So unbelievers do not have God as their father. They do not have that relationship with God. They cannot say, oh, we all believe in one God. There is only one God. In the three persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We at one time were children of wrath, but now we have been adopted into the family of God. Isn't that a wonderful truth? If you can get this in your heart today, my desire today is for you to know that you are loved by the eternal God, the eternal Father. And even if you've had a bad time and a tragic life, you are still the child of the living God if you have Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that is the beauty of what Christ was showing to us in his many words. We are the children of promise. It said, now we used to sing a little chorus, many sons has Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. But we are the children of God through the promise that has been given to Abraham. It says in Ephesians, again, 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, as I said in the prior verse, and were children of wrath. And in Romans 9:8, it says, this is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. It wasn't Abraham's seed according to the flesh, but it was his seed according to those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so the promise made to Abraham. And how many have believed the promise that God has given us? Let me see your hand out there. Who believes in God as their father this day? Then rejoice in the truth of that, that you have a heavenly Father that cares for you more than any earthly father could ever care for you. Children are of God are, to me, are not to me, but to the Word, are different than children of the devil. And Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come in my own, but he sent me. And Jesus Christ was sent by the Father. In John 8:44, it says, Jesus told the Pharisees, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. And in 1 John 3:10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. So there's a difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, and anyone who does not love his brother is not a child of God. I had an interesting opportunity yesterday. I was at a picnic, and I sat down with a lady and her husband at one point, and the conversation turned to the things of the Lord, and she began to say, you know, it's always been difficult for me to have assurance of salvation. And I said, why is that? She said, because I feel so unworthy. And I looked at her, I said, well, you are unworthy. And she sort of looked at me, she sort of like pushed at me laughingly. And I said, and so am I unworthy. It's not based on your worth. And Richie brought this up again in Sunday school today. How many people go through life with the thought that they are not worthy enough to be saved? Well, we're all unworthy in and of ourselves. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that he gave his son. Yes. Then the Bible says, as many that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you believe that God loves his sons and his daughters? And he certainly does. But it is not based on your worth. If I could ever get anything through to this congregation and to anybody I meet, is that it is not based upon how good you are, how good you feel, how worthy you are, or how worthy you feel. It's based on what Jesus Christ did on Calvary for you. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's Christ Almighty. I tell you, I know people that go through life carrying a weight. I have fallen. I've done something today. Some people's salvation only lasts for a day because they figure their very next sin, they have lost that, or they've lost the joy of their salvation. Do you think that God has come to make you miserable or to give you a life that is abundant? I believe that he's come to give us an abundant life. And God wants to make, I wish I could get this into your minds once and for all. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins have been washed away. Washed away. I know I've said this in this church 100 times. And I just want to say it again so I get it through to your head. That when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he paid for all the sins of all men for all time. Sins have been washed away. It is no longer your sin that is keeping you from God. It's whether you have received Christ as your sin bearer. Once he has taken your sin upon himself, once you receive what he has done, you have eternal life. Now, there are those that are children of wrath because they have not accepted what Christ has done. They have not accepted the promise. They have not believed in God. And for that reason, they are children of wrath because they've made that decision to turn away from God and his provision for their sins. And so when they stand before God and the books are open, they're saying, in essence, they're saying, I don't want to be in the book of life. I want that you should judge me according to my works. And if somebody is being judged according to their works, I can assure you that no one will stand. The reason I'm going to stand before God on that day and see my Heavenly Father is because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's where you're going to find my name. That's where you're going to find me written in the Lamb's book of life. And I thank God for that I have a Father in heaven that cares for me. Praise God. Praise God. In Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that is the way we are a Spirit-led people. We are walking according to the Spirit of God. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now I looked up Abba in Strong's Concordance and in Wikipedia and every place else, but Abba means Father. And father in this specific verse is translated pater. The other one is translated as Abba, but that they both mean father. But for us to say, "Oh, Father, Father," it to me it brings an intimate relationship with God. And so, the title of my sermon today is "Who's Your Daddy?" That's the way Jamie told me to say it. So. Who's your daddy? And we have a father in heaven, and we can call him. And many people I know, when they've said Abba Father, they think of daddy. Think of saying daddy. I didn't call my daddy daddy. I called him dad later on. But when I was younger, I called him daddy. So my earthly daddy I had, but now I have a heavenly father. And I thank God for my heavenly father. And if children, it says, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with him, that ye may also be glorified with him. So who is your Abba Father? As I said before, God is not everyone's father. If you are a person sitting here in this congregation today that has not yet made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then God is not your father. You are not in one of the children of God just because God created you. God, you need to make a decision to receive Christ as your Savior. That will make you a child of the living God. God is extending himself to you, has already made the provision, has already paid for your sins. It is but to claim what has already been done for you. Then who is my Father? For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the living God. And that is who my Father is, God Almighty. As I said before, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I don't know how it's written there. My last name is Lloyd, and it's a Welsh name. I'm from Wales. Most people are from humans, but I'm from Wales. No, I'm from my heritage of Wales. A few generations back, they were all Welsh coal miners. Came to I think Ohio, then into Pennsylvania to mine anthracite coal. And so whatever we did back in the Altoona area, you either were a coal miner or a railroader. So my family was both. My father was on the railroad for a while, but my grandfather was a coal miner. And I've told you stories about my grandfather. Amazing how he worked for 10 hours a day in the ground and went in and stayed there and came out soaking wet and used to walk 5 miles home. 5 miles there, 5 miles back from the mine. His clothes were frozen on him when he came in the house. They'd get out a big old brass tub, and he'd take his clothes off, put them behind the stove, get in the tub, and wash. And I remember him coughing and coughing and coughing. He had black lung when he was in his 70s and stayed with us for a while. But they were Welsh. But and that the Welsh Lloyd name means gray, G-R-E-Y, gray. And that is why I wear my hair like this, because I wanted to be gray-headed. But now, in the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't think I'm going to be written up there as Bert Lloyd. I've got a interesting. I looked up. You ever know they have like Anderson, and we used to have a fella come here named Mortensen. And so that would be like Bert Lloyd's son. And they did. So years ago in Scandinavian countries, they decided that Michael has a child. He couldn't call her Adeline, Michael Lloyd's son. And so it's Lloyd became our family name. But in Scandinavia, it was all Mortensen. They decided that would be the family surname. He was Mortensen was Danish. He was a Dane, Ib Mortensen. In fact, he made the cross. It's out there, carved that. He's passed away some years, but he was a great a carpenter and a dock worker, Ib Mortensen. But that's how the sons came. You know, you see that in most cultures where you are Morton's son, so Morton's son. Now, I'm getting to this point to say that in the Lamb's Book of Life, I think I'm going to be called Bert God's son, because I'm a son of the living God. I'm not the son of the living God, but I am a child of God. And so why wouldn't I call myself Bert God's son? And of course, I told you always to call me Saint Bert, because I'm a saint. So you can call me from now on Saint Bert God's son. How about that? And you're all that. You're all saints if you accepted Christ. And you're all God's children, so you can name yourself Godson. Godson, that's a good one. Bert Godson. Hey, what's your name? Bert Godson. So there it is. I've got a new name written down in the glory, and it's mine. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to get a stone, and I don't know what's written on that, but it's got to be Bert Godson. So I thank God for the truth of that I have, you know what I've done? I've changed my genealogy. I've changed my family inheritance. I no longer am going to inherit a piece of coal from my coal mining ancestors. What I inherit is all the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. That is what is due to a child of God. We inherit we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Isn't that amazing? Who thinks that's phenomenal? Let me hear you saying amen. Amen. All right. Let me hear you clap your hands a couple times for God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, this is good stuff, I'm telling you. That's fine preaching today. All right. As much as I love and respect my earthly father, I've been born, as I said, into a new lineage, a new parentage by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again. My name in the flesh may be Bert Lloyd, but in the spirit, I am Bert Godson. And I am so happy that I am part of that family of God Almighty. I'm no longer my own, the Bible says. I am bought with a price. I have been adopted into the family of God. It is my Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Praise God Almighty to know that I have a father. Who knows that they have a father in heaven? I mean, come on. If we can get that in our minds today, there are many people that feel inadequate in life and so downtrodden and so, but listen, God, the creator of the universe, is your father. I mean, that puts a whole different light on any situation that is in your life. You are a child of God Almighty, and Jesus Christ is your brother. Hallelujah. I'm just so taken with that. I just love to think about that. Again and again. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now that is love. If you ever have felt that you were unloved, or that your father didn't love you, or anyone didn't love you, you are loved of God. That is something you got to shake yourself until you get that into your brain, that you are loved of God. You never need to feel inadequate. You never need to feel lesser. You never need to feel deserted. You never need to feel ashamed. You are a child of the living God. And that is a glorious truth. And I thank God for that truth. Ronnie gave a quote to me, but it came from Helen Keller. And the quote was, from Helen Keller, I cried because I had no shoes. And she said, until I met a man that had no feet. And I think that we as Christians are not appreciative enough to the station we have as being a child of the living God. Now think about that. If you were moaning and groaning about things and, again, not having shoes and you met somebody that had no feet, let me equate that to this. You moan and groan about the simple things of your life, those infinitesimal drudgeries or inconveniences, but do you ever stand up and say, I cannot believe I am a child of the living God. I, Bert Lloyd, am Godson. I am God's son. I am an adopted child of the living God. If you ever need an elixir against depression, pull that out. Your faith that God is your father will quench all the flaming darts of the wicked one. Faith in God that he is your father and he loves you. Thank you, Lord. Who's your father again? Who is your Abba? Who's your daddy? I want to tell you about my father. I talked about my dad on earth. Now I'd like to just close with a couple thoughts about my father which art in heaven. My father which art in heaven created all the universe. My dad could do a one-arm chin-up. But my Father in heaven created the universe. My Father in heaven created everyone that has ever existed in this world. My Father in heaven can part the Red Sea. My Father in heaven could walk on water. My Father in heaven could feed an entire multitude in the wilderness with bread from heaven. Can my Father supply my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? My Father can make the sun come up in the morning. My Father has placed the stars and the planets and the moon and everything that is out there. My Father did that. And he is your Father also. My Father is the creator of all things. My Father is the sustainer. There is not a drop of blood that courses through my veins that is not known by my heavenly Father. Every cell of your body, every atom within you is known and scheduled and seen by God Almighty. God is your Father. He has placed you in the position you are now. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows who your enemies are. He knows who your friends are. And every situation that is in your life, God is working it. Your Father is working it for good because you love God and you are a child of the living God. My God knows all things. He knows what's going to happen in the government. He knows what's going to happen in the election. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for heaven's sake. My God knows more than Santa Claus knows. My Father knows everybody. My Father knows every king. My Father put them all in place. My God determines who does what in this world. My God is sovereign. My Father knows everything. I thank God for that. My God not only has created everything because he is so powerful and so mighty and he sustains everything and he knows everything, but my Father is everywhere present. He is every place that you go. Though you would descend into hell, my Father is there. In heaven, my Father will be there. When you've had a difficult time, my Father, God, is there. And when someone dies and they're laid out in the funeral parlor, my Father is there. And you know what happens when you die? You're going to go to be with God in heaven because Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And where Christ is, there I will be also. He will never leave nor forsake me. He will never desert me. He will never let me down. Though my own Father would fail in many situations, my Father which art in heaven can never, will never, has never failed. He is God Almighty. He will remain God Almighty forever and forever. And when the world comes against you, Christ will stand with you. Your Father will be there no matter how difficult it seems. No matter what you face, Christ has already faced it for you. No matter what your sin is, God has already forgiven you. No matter what you face, God will face it with you and will bring you through it by the power of God Almighty. That is your Father. What a Father we have. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. My Father never changes. He is immutable. My Father will remain the same. So then my own Father on earth got old and he died. He wasn't able to do all that he could. But my God in heaven, my Father which art in heaven, he will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love will never diminish. He is a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. That's who he is. That's who he is. And you know who I am? I am a child of the living God. And I praise God for that truth. Thank God that I have a Father that will never change towards me. I have failed it many times. God has never failed. He has never changed in his love for me. And though I have let him down, he will never leave me down. He will never forsake me. He will never cease to draw me back by his love, by his Spirit. I have a good, good Father. And he cares all about me. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful Father we have. His character is impeccable. He is love. Doesn't say God is loving. God is the best lover of souls. It isn't that. He is love. All that love is, God is. God is love. I never have to look at God and see if he's going to have a bad day and take it out on me. God never has a bad day. All he ever does is operate in love. He operates in love towards you. He operates in love towards the world, towards enemies, towards sinners alike. He makes his rain to fall on the good and the evil alike, the Bible says. God is love. He will never change from that. God is a good, good God. What is good? He does everything properly. He does everything right. He does everything with affection. He does everything with kindness. He is a good and kind God. He is a loving God. He is a gracious God. He is gracious in this fact that while I was a sinner, yet he saved me. He showed his love towards me, his graciousness towards me. God is gracious. He is merciful. I that deserved hell and destruction. He sent Christ, his own son, his only begotten son. My father sent because he loved me and he loves you. How can anybody ever feel down and despondent when we have God as our father? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to glue this thing on next time. I am so excited to know that I've been able to express myself to you today to tell you that God is my daddy. And I want you to have him as your daddy. He is your father. And you have to walk around with your head held high because you are of the lineage and you have an inheritance that is of God Almighty. God is the creator. You have that heritage. You have that name. Everybody say their first name. Say it louder. Bert. Now we're going to add Godson to the end of that. One, two, three. Bert Godson. Say it again. Bert Godson. You're all God's sons and daughters by the living God. I want you to go from this place rejoicing on this Father's Day. Yes, that you had a father on earth, but rejoicing even more so that you have a father in heaven that is with you while you're sitting in church. When you walk out the door, wherever you go, know that God the Father goes with you. Amen? Amen. Let's say a word of prayer. Lord God, we give you praise this day.